Floyd. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty.
Fingers crossed here.
We hope. All right.
For the time being.
Jazz and Lakers coming up tonight. Man, I'm fired up for this game. I am really, really excited to see how the Jazz handle this team tonight. And, yeah, I don't care if the Lakers are shorthanded. They are still the gold standard of the NBA. They are still the defending champs of the NBA. Jazz are at home. That arena is going to be rocking as much as it possibly can be with the limited fans that can be in there. But I know that's a hot ticket because I've had a lot of people say, hey, man, I know you don't have a lot of tickets. But any way that you can get me into that game.
In your mind, you're like, I literally have access to none.
I have access to zero tickets this year.
Minus 10.
Yes.
So if I add you, that means I'm minus 11.
So just know, if I had a ticket available, I would probably use it myself.
Yeah. Go see LeBron James.
Yeah.
So this is the starting five that I'm expecting tonight. Without Dennis Schroeder, without Anthony Davis, you'd expect to see Kyle Kuzma, Mark Gasol. You know, we talked about former Jazz men that you hate to see leave. Had a couple of people tweet at us, Wes Matthews. Wes Matthews probably starting for the Lakers tonight, and Caldwell Pope. It's still a really good starting five.
Yes.
And depending on how well they can get out and defend the perimeter and put pressure on the perimeter, push guys off the three as much as they can, off that mark as much as they can, really they could cause some fits even with that starting five. Then remember, off the bench, you still have Trez Harrell, who comes off the bench and is going to cause all kinds of problems down low.
Yep.
And you've got Caruso, who has been a Jazz killer in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Caruso's done some things, and you're like, geez, man, what? He'll come in and he'll do some things, and then, you know, more than once in a while, we've seen Markieff Morris cause problems. Markieff loves to come out onto the court and make things muddy. So, I know that with Schroeder and Anthony Davis, they become that Lakers team that all of us are fearing in the postseason.
Correct.
But even with this team, I'm looking and thinking this is still one of the top three teams in the West with this roster. Without those two, still one of the top three rosters in the West.
Easily.
Yeah, because you put LeBron James on any roster, and it's going to move it. It's going to move it up the ranks quite a bit.
You put LeBron James on the Highland Alpine Fifth Ward team, and they'll be one of the top three teams in the NBA. All right, maybe top four.
I'm going through personnel, like averaging 5'10".
I don't know a lot of former BYU players down in that area, so they might be able to string together some talent.
Yeah, but you might be right still. I'm excited about this game tonight. I expect the Jazz to be able to handle them still. You know,
have you seen the line?
No, I have not.
By the way, it just moved too. Take a guess as to what it is.
Jazz 2.5?
Jazz yesterday it was Jazz 8. Now it's Jazz -9.
Boy, I disagree with that line.
Okay.
I guess the Jazz have been.
Remember, there's that bridge training we've got to do, so just know that you can't.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
if I could, no.
I know that the Jazz are the double-digit killers right now. They've been winning most of their games by double digits.
Yep.
I think 21 or 25.
Yeah, just double-check. Jazz -9 in this game.
That's gonna be a big sign of disrespect. LeBron's feeling that pressure. They're feeling the pressure of this three-game losing streak.
And that's the thing that makes it a little dangerous, because you got a wounded animal coming in.
Yeah.
Losers of three in a row. I am not looking forward, and I don't think anybody wants to play LeBron James after losing three games in a row.
What better way to remind everybody that you're for real, that you're fine.
You're LeBron freaking James.
By beating the best record in the league.
Yeah.
So they're all going to be ticked off. And Markieff Morris, a always feels – and actually, I've watched him enough to feel like he's got an axe to grind against everybody. But I always feel like specifically against the Jazz, he's trying to prove a point.
Yeah, and that's always – you know, you bring up him, you bring up Caruso, and there's some guys out there that have just been a pain in the butt to the Jazz.
Yeah.
And those are a couple of those guys.
Well, then, you know, Wes Matthews wants to show up on his old court, and he wants to do work in front of Jazz fans.
Yeah. Well, and the other fact too, I mean, you look at the standings, and Lakers are four games back in the win, you know, in the loss category. Jazz 25-6, Clippers now 23-10, and the Lakers 22-10. So, I mean, they're looking at it like we got to make up some ground here. We can't let these dudes run away and hide. But I will say this: Jazz right now are looking really good. If they can continue to string together some wins leading up into the All-Star break, Jazz are in a really good place right now to hold on to that number one seed.
And we're getting the second half of the schedule at 1 o'clock today.
Yep.
So 1 o'clock, Scotty and I will go through the second half of the Jazz schedule as it's announced. And we'll have a better look at how many more times they face the Lakers, if they do face the Clippers one more time. Remember, all of that's still up in the air. And at 1 o'clock, we'll get a feel for what the second half of this Jazz season is going to look like, which will be another big indicator if they can hold on to that number one spot. You know, if it's a favorable second half, Scotty, when's the last time the Jazz finished as the number one seed?
You've got to go back to 98, 97, 98.
That's the last
the second finals team. Well, and I think they also had the number one seed in 96-97 in the West. They did not have it for the entire NBA. But 97-98, they had the best record in the league in both conferences.
That's going back a long ways to find the Jazz run as the number one seed. I think it means a lot to them.
Lloyd, I think they may have had the number one seed the next year, too. When they lost to the Blazers in the second round in the 98-99, the lockout shortened year.
I believe you are correct. I'm pretty sure.
But beside the point, it's been 20-plus years.
20-plus years, and they've got a really good possibility in front of them. And
Locke laid it out how good that possibility is, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 games left, essentially. Like, and I can't imagine they're going to – I mean, fall off the edge, fall off a cliff anywhere. Knock on wood.
I mean, we're even talking to the point where you're in the NBA Finals and you have the number one seed. I mean, and you have home court advantage. That's where this team's at right now, and I think that's where I think a lot of people are certainly getting excited about. And at that point, I mean, if you want to believe what Governor Cox said yesterday, and I think we all hope that he's accurate and right on that, and I don't think that he would just go saying stuff like that all willy-nilly, that if we're at July 4th and we have large gatherings and we don't have to wear masks, that's a good indication that they can pump a lot of fans into that arena. And if you're playing the Lakers in a seven-game series, I don't think California is going to be quite to that point where they're going to have 18,000 fans in an arena. That's a huge advantage for the Jazz if they're playing a seven-game series and the Jazz have near a entire arena packed and ready to go, and the Lakers do not, or the Clippers do not.
I don't know if Brooklyn would be
or
ready.
Or if Brooklyn does not. Yeah, great point.
I don't know if Brooklyn would be ready either.
Oh, there's going to be so much. You thought Boise State was complaining. Imagine the complaints that are going to be coming from those teams.
Any chance they play that series in New Mexico? Where's everybody? Where did New Mexico go? Vegas?
We went to Lubbock.
Lubbock. They're headed to Lubbock. Everything's going to be moved to Florida. Pablo, honey.
You're going to be like, hey, we're ready for that bubble again. Jazz are like, no, we don't want to. There's no bubble. We're good.
We're ready here.
We're pretty sure we need the bubble. No fans in a bubble in the middle of Disneyland. No.
How do you feel Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell getting the news that they have received their second consecutive All-Star bids, which is the first time that's happened since John and Carl received consecutive All-Star bids going back, 98 or so. how do you think that they handle that game tonight? I mean, I've got to imagine that that energizes them.
Yes.
You know, they're sitting in the locker room, pumped, excited, probably ticked off that Conley didn't get acknowledgement, and maybe feeling like even Jordan Clarkson should have had a look with what their current record is.
What do you think of how Conley plays, knowing that he's got a chance to make an impression
on LeBron?
On a commissioner pick. Or LeBron,
On LeBron, who just endorsed
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker this morning.
By the way, don't think that that wasn't also a, hey, Devin Booker, remember when you're a free agent.
Yeah.
I got you, I had your back.
That's probably him persuading him over.
Personally, Chris Paul should probably back out.
Devin Booker, you may want to demand a trade. Just saying.
That could go a long way. Mike Conley really making a point tonight. Could go a long way.
Is it wrong to think that every time LeBron tweets out about somebody individually, that I immediately think that he's tampering in some way, shape, or form?
No, because he is.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's nothing bad in thinking that, because I think most of the time there's ulterior motive for him.
And I don't know if he – I don't know who Devin Booker's agent is, if he's going through LeBron's buddy's agency or not, but – Devin Booker was close to demanding a trade last year. Maybe he's like, hey, I want a trade. And by the way, I want to go play for the Lakers. And LeBron's saying, hey, look, I got your back. Let's make this happen.
The Phoenix Suns are an intriguing team this year.
They are, actually. And that's another reason why I think that, and I think you mentioned this in the first segment, which is why I think Devin Booker may get the nod over Mike Conley, is that Devin Booker, the Suns probably deserve to have a member of the best player on their team in an All-Star game. Uh-huh. I mean, what are they're if the season ended today, they're a 4 seed, right?
4 seed right now.
Yeah,
they're currently 9-1 in the last 10. 9-1 in the last 10, Scotty, and in that streak, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Celtics, they've beat the Trailblazers through that 9-1 streak through 10 games. They've beat some really good teams. Most recently, the Trailblazers. And they are doing it on the back of Devin Booker, but obviously Chris Paul gets all the love, gets all the attention. He always does.
What do you think? Does that do anything to their Chris Paul and Devin Booker's relationship?
Where Chris Paul got the All-Star
nod. Got the All-Star nod, and Devin is like, dude. Like a little jealousy, like a little damage there,
Chris Paul averaging 16 points and 8 assists this year. So, Scotty, Chris Paul's at 16 and 8, and I mentioned Devin Booker's at 25 points.
I mean, Booker deserves it over Chris Paul.
Well, that's how I felt. And that's weird.
And maybe that's LeBron taking a jab at Chris Paul.
If I was Chris Paul, I'd be like, maybe I wouldn't, but dude, you back out because he knows he doesn't deserve it.
You got Devin Booker is at 25 points and nearly 5 assists.
If he was a good teammate, he would back out and say, Devin, this is you, man.
Chris Paul's got 11 of them?
Yes.
He's got 11 All-Stars. You can give
I shouldn't one. Be Come here. On. You should have this. And don't tell me, I guarantee somebody, if there was a similar situation, the way this Jazz team is built, somebody else at this Jazz team would do something like that.
That would be a pretty cool gesture. I actually don't want to see it, Lloyd, because I think it would probably do too much for that Phoenix Suns chemistry and their relationship with the team. I do wonder if there's going to be another slot that opens, because you've got so many guys that were against this All-Star game even being played. And you got, fears, nicks, dings. There's always one or two more that pop up the week of or a couple days before. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another alternate.
I mean, Paul George said, hey, it's great. I love being an All-Star. I love the honor. And they asked about playing the game. He's like, I'm not too keen on playing the game. Like, a lot of these guys don't want to play in it, don't want a game. Now, they want to be called an All-Star, and they want the honor of being an All-Star. But at the end of the day, they don't really want to play the game. And Adam Silver's like, no, you like the money you get? We got to play this game. So go play the game. If there's a group of players that try to sit out or fake some injuries, Adam Silver's going to lose his mind over it.
Yeah. They've made it very clear that this virus is not going to slow down the how many million did Kurt Helin tell us are involved on this? It 30 million?
That's what I want to say, 30, 50 million.
Somewhere in there. And it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to the commissioner. The virus isn't. It's just not worth it to him to miss that type of money. I could see why the players are against it, you know.
It's a shortened all-star break, so you don't get your normal time off. So if you're playing in the game, you have no time off. And I think the players are saying, you know, they're concerned about the virus, and I understand, and those are completely good concerns. But I think at the end of the day, that guys look at that all-star break as, if especially the guys that are in the game, like, okay, I can go, I can play the game, and then I can still have a few days off to kind of regroup and get my body right and get ready to go. And these guys that are playing in the game, they don't have any time. They're going to fly over there, they're going to play a game, they're going to come back, they might have a day. And then they're back and playing the grind of an NBA season. So I can understand, you know, the hesitation of some of these guys not wanting to play this game.
I do believe the NBA is going to put every safety measure in place. And I'm happy that Rudy and Donovan got the All-Star nomination. But you do remember the days where Rudy and Donovan were kind of considered the snub of the NBA. And you remember coming out of the All-Star break, there were two things we always thought. Number one, they're rested. Number two, there's a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Now you don't get the rest, you don't get the chip. You get the All-Star nomination. Now, there is a certain amount of pride and ego that comes with that.
Yes.
That needs to present itself. You need to play like an All-Star after All-Star break. So go out there and play like an All-Star instead of, well, now I've got to finish out this half of the season proving to everybody that I was a snub, trying to push into next season so that I can get the All-Star nomination.
There was the infamous game of, I think it was Karl Malone who put up 62, the game after it was announced that he was not a starter in the All-Star game. And he was so ticked off, he put up like 62 against the Bucks or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you are an All-Star, you need to prove the world. And look, frankly, and I know this is kind of circling back to the conversation we started this, if you're Rudy Gobert and there's some people out there that don't think that you should be an MVP caliber or you should not be an All-Star,
yep,
or, you know, whatever the case is because you're not a scorer, take it out on the Lakers tonight.
Beat them up.
You don't have Anthony Davis in the middle. Go crazy. Light up whoever comes in there and tries to, you know, get yourself four or five block shots tonight.
I'm a little bit surprised at the 9-point Vegas line. Jazz minus 9 points against the Los Angeles Lakers. I get it. Without Anthony Davis and Schroeder makes a huge difference. But 9 points?
Well, and Lloyd brought up the story last week that the Jazz have just been destroying the spread. Jazz against the spread have been, and I can't even remember the number off the top of my head, Lloyd, but if you've been betting on the Jazz lately.
18-1-1 against the spread at 1 point.
Before the Clippers game. And if you've been betting on the Jazz against the spread, you've been making a whole lot of money. And so, you know, the lines makers out there are trying to adapt to this because the Jazz keep beating everybody by double figures. So they're trying to figure out how to handle this. So they put the Jazz up on the Lakers by 9.
And that Clippers loss, by the way, made the Jazz better. You could see the pressure starting to mount up on them with the wins. And you could tell the three-point shooting was going down a little bit. And look what they did. They went out and made 28 against the Hornets after that
loss.
They
did. The Hornets' perimeter defense is just horrible. Horrible. I do wonder, though, Lloyd, that loss, that Clippers loss, it's got to plant a seed in their head.
And yeah.
I did not like to see it. To watch the Clippers come back fully loaded and get the win, it made me scratch my head and think, how much damage did this do to the confidence of this team? Not against a Hornets team. Maybe not even against a Lakers team that's without one of their superstars. But against a fully loaded Clippers team, or when it is a fully loaded Lakers team, how much did that shake their confidence? Losing to a Clippers team that you saw, they poured it all on the court. That was a high-level playoff-like game.
Yep.
So tonight I think it's really important. They in their minds, they've got to get this win against the Lakers team that's nicked up in order to feel like they can do it. when they're fully healthy.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scotty G. Mark's hanging out with us once again here at Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray. How are you, man?
Good, what's up, man? Mark? How are you guys?
Long time no talk to you. How have you been?
Yeah, I've just been stuck in my office making sure that we're getting all of the news out about all the sales and specials we got going on.
Well, let's talk about that right now. What have you got?
My gosh, we've got so much going on. One, the brand new Armada is out.
Ooh.
We just redesigned the Frontier and the Pathfinder. Those are going to be here very, very soon. But right now, 0% interest for up to 84 months on the 2021 Nissan Titan. So zero interest. That means free money, folks.
Free money.
We're giving it away.
and you know, over you know, 6 or 7 years, I mean, that's tens of thousands
of
dollars.
It's thousands and thousands of dollars you save by doing that. So, and if you find yourself that you're looking to, hey, I just want to sell my car.
Yeah.
Don't really need to get another car because I'm Ubering everywhere, whatever. We buy cars like you wouldn't believe. We bought 30-something cars off of folks just needing to.
You need that used inventory.
Get rid of their car. Or they didn't get enough for their trade somewhere else and trying to sell it themselves. They've come in, they've turned their car over, and we've been able to get them a great deal because, yeah, we need used inventory. You want to know why? We're selling lots of used cars, and the reason why? Great prices.
Yeah. And a lot of people talk about the forever warranty on these new vehicles. It's probably, what, 95% of your used inventory?
Yeah, about 95% of our used inventory. All of them come with a forever warranty and our new cars. So you don't just get the 3-year, 36,000 miles, but you also get a lifetime forever warranty that lasts for as long as you own the car and for however many miles you put on it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So you can just buy with great confidence. So you really don't have to worry about a lot of the things that most people worry about, which is, you know, I'm buying somebody else's problems. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Forever Warranty takes care of it.
Let's make it happen. Get down here. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. Mark and his crew ready to help you out right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's the good, it's the bad, and yes, it's also the ugly. We do it every day at this time. It's all brought to you by Zero Res. Get 3 rooms of carpet clean for $89. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Some big news coming out of Provo. Finally, they can put some fans in there.
Yeah, this is according to Mark Pope yesterday, BYU men's basketball head coach. He said there will be 1,750 fans that are going to be allowed into the Marriott Center. And that's senior night on Saturday, and that is coming up tomorrow as well against San Francisco. So getting to see BYU fans back in the Marriott Center, that's pretty awesome. Limited amount of student tickets were made available today at 10 a.m. for Thursday's game. And if you're looking to get into Saturday's game, look for those to be made available at 10 a.m. on Friday. And then you can jump in and grab those tickets. And then there will be an additional ticket allotment for the 2019 basketball season ticket holders. And those are going to be available based on Cougar Club priority level. So if you're looking to just grab a ticket and head out and go watch BYU and St. Mary's this weekend, probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not even about that. Senior night's coming up on Saturday, and I think it's pretty cool that senior night, they're at least going to have about 2,000 fans in that arena for those seniors to enjoy. So I think that that's a pretty cool thing. So this is good news.
I think it's really good news, and frankly, I'm not sure why it's taken so long for BYU to do this. Like, I think Utah had some Pac-12 issues. Whereas a conference, they didn't want somebody to have an advantage, so they went across the board, if I remember correctly, and said, we're all going to be on the same. If California can't do it, people in Utah can't do it. You know, so I think that's what held Utah back. Utah State, right out of the gate, let 1,500 people in.
Yeah.
Weber State started the season with no fans and then gradually let fans back in. I kind of feel bad for BYU fans that have had to wait all this season for the final two games of the year to finally be able to watch their team play in person.
Well, I kind of thought it was ridiculous, you know, at the beginning parts of this virus, Utah County, and it's specifically Provo, became kind of the person that you kick around through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to beat up Utah County and say, well, nobody's paying attention in Provo. Well, nobody was paying attention anywhere in Utah at the beginning stages. I mean, there were people that were out doing dumb things through all of it. And then there was that volleyball event, and everybody blew that up, even though there were events going on all over the place. Yeah. They attacked Utah County. And I don't know if that has something to do with it, where Utah County's like, well, I guess we need to be overly sensitive and overly cautious. I know Utah County did have a couple of big surges through this COVID mess, but there was a time, Scotty, where they were the primary attack of the state. People just wanted to beat up Provo, beat up Utah County. So maybe they're just trying to be overly cautious. I don't know.
And I don't know if it was a BYU decision. I don't know if it was a Utah County decision or a local health department decision. Not exactly sure. But fortunately, you got two games coming up where you're going to be able to see your team. Well, where some people are going to be able to see their team play.
1,750 out of about 19,000 plus that can be that could be there. As Coach Pope pointed out, that's about one person per 10 seats.
It's going to get really echoey in there.
I could tell Coach Pope was excited and happy, but at the same time, he was like, that's about one per 10 seats, so that's nice.
I just, I mean, it's good that they finally are able to do that. It's good that that's an opportunity for them. I just wish that could have come a little sooner because it's a great team, and this team deserved an opportunity to see more people watch them in-person play. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The bad, and we're talking about fans in the stands, West Coast Conference and the Mountain West Conference both announced over the last couple of days that they will have their conference tournaments in Vegas without any fans in attendance.
None.
Zero. Zilch. None.
Do they get money through TV partnerships?
There is some TV money that comes in on the conference tournament, but a lot of their revenue, I think, is driven by fans, and I think that's why that's what a lot of these coaches, like Mark Few and some of these other guys that don't really, I think, deep down want to play in these, want these conference tournaments to be played. I think that's a lot of what they're saying is like, hey, look, we're not making any money, not making a lot of money because so much of it is based on attendance and fans in the stands and things like that. If we can't have it, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't play this thing. And but you've got the conference tournaments that still need to get that TV revenue that said, look, we're going to play it, but don't plan on any fans being there. And that might have a lot to do with Vegas and Nevada not being able to get the green light from those areas.
Move it out of there, then. Move it to somewhere where you can
go to Lubbock.
Fans in.
Let's go to Lubbock.
Bring it to Lubbock. Bring it to Utah. They'll put 1,750 in the Marriott Center. You have that West Coast Conference tournament here in Provo. Bring it here.
Oh, that would go over well in West Coast Conference. We've got to go play the game in Provo with fans.
Well, it's the only place that can handle 1,750 fans. You realize that's a sellout for
Put it in Vivint Arena.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, we're going to a neutral site. We're putting it in Vivint.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, man. I've been to multiple Mount West Conference and West Coast Conference tournaments. There are a lot of empty seats at those tournaments. But when you get that championship game going, it's pretty packed.
I will, like, some of my favorite moments of covering games, of calling games, have been in conference tournaments. Like watching, you know, I will say, and I've said this multiple times, like one of the greatest individual moments that I've ever seen live it sounded like the beginning of Seinfeld here for a second. Anyway, Johnny's got his bass out. But was Jimmer's blow-up performance against New Mexico in the semifinals of the Mountain West Conference. Like, that's probably one of the greatest singular individual performances I've ever seen live. And New Mexico fans always pack that tournament. New Mexico, maybe it's just because they live in Albuquerque. I don't know why, but they flood to the tournament. And so there were a lot of BYU fans at that game, but there were a ton of New Mexico fans. And that place was just electric. The last 2 years, San Diego State fans flooded the Mountain West Conference tournament because their team only had one loss. They were going to be a number one seed. And Utah State fans, once the Aggies got into the conference championship game, they flooded down to Las Vegas. And that Sam Merrill shot in front of that, I mean, that place was packed. I mean, it was a near sellout. And it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. You know, if one of the greatest games in front of a ton of fans, and it's right down the middle, 50, well, last year it was probably more 60-70 San Diego State, 30% Utah State. But, I mean, the place was just electric. And that's what makes those events so much fun. I love conference tournaments. And without fans there, it just kind of bums me out a little bit.
Yep.
Wish you could see it. Wish they could get down there.
Yeah.
And that hurts Vegas, too. I mean, that's tens of thousands of fans going down there and spending a lot of money.
Well, that Mount West Conference tournament was one of the last events Vegas had without restriction.
That's a great point, yeah.
Going back a long time ago.
I guess you had a couple Pac-12 tournament games. Remember, Utah lost that tournament game, and then I think the next day is when everything got shut down.
Then it shut down. Was that the following week?
Yeah.
Following week.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
A player for the Orlando City Soccer Club out of the MLS and his brother are accused of sexually assaulting a woman, sheriff's investigator said. Jonathan Suarez Cortez, 24 years old, arrested Tuesday night near Orlando, according to the sheriff's office. He is a defender for Orlando City, acquired on loan from a team earlier this month. He and his brother were both arrested as suspects, according to the sheriff's office. Quote, no further comment will be provided by the club until further investigation of the alleged incident is complete. The deputies responded on Monday afternoon after a woman said that she had been assaulted by two men the previous afternoon.
The brother's not a player?
Brother's not a player. Both of them in their early 20s, but disgusting story coming out of there in Florida.
Both of them are currently in holding, huh?
Yep.
Well, that's terrible, man. I think we've seen an increase of attention paid to these cases. Obviously, leagues have taken a more firm stand against violence against women, sexual violence against women, domestic violence. So I hope that we continue to see that stand. And then the other thing that I've learned over the years in this business is make sure you sit back and let it all play out. Let the courts take action. Let's see, you know, what's fact. And at that point, let the leagues make those decisions. So pretty rough accusations, horrible accusations, and I hope that the justice is served.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And if the allegations are true, that these two guys go away for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a good point, though, because, I mean, you've shared the story of a guy that essentially got in trouble for some domestic abuse, and he was back out on the field, 2 days later, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, by the way, in the professional ranks.
Yeah. My teammate, one of my teammates, I think it might have been 2 days, and he beat up his wife pretty badly, and there was evidence on that one because there was arrest. But he's back on the field, didn't miss a game. Missed one practice. That's how they used to take care of it.
Yeah.
They used to just look the other way. Now, teams really want to let these accusations play out, and they want to let the court have its time. But when you've got situations red-handed, multiple accounts, multiple witnesses, events like that, you got to take really quick action. Sounds like that. I mean, if these guys are both in holding, sounds like this really quick action's being taken here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds as if that's something that you really have seen, that this needs to be, the victims need to be paid attention to, the people need to pay attention to what's going on, and that you can, you know, obviously the arrests and the fact that these guys are in holding is going to keep them away from a team, but I'm okay with the guy not being available to play and not being available to practice while you work out the details on this. And if he's suspended or away from the team and he finds out later that allegations were unfounded and not true, then okay, give him his money back and get him back out on the field. But yeah, I think it's okay if you wait a little bit on something like that.
And where we've seen so many false allegations, I would like it to be considered to continue to pretty harsh punishment on those who falsify those allegations.
Yes.
because of what it does to those who have truly gone through the trauma. It can be so damaging. So, and also what it does to the person that you're trying to figure out if he was guilty in this or not. If those allegations are false, it damages his reputation regardless sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. All right. 11:43, Hans and Scotty. We hope to be able to hear from Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, as well as George Niang joining the program coming up as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Slow-mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Donovan constantly talks about how good he is at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, a pitch? One of your
fastball.
Pitches? Fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. And the bet was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle thing.
Run around the sand pit. The other thing with throwing 10 straight is he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living.
Hey, neither do you.
But I'm just standing there with a
Hey!
One out of 10. That's it. One. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
Joe Bleeping Ingles has joined us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Bleeping Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Big one tonight for the Jazz. They take on the Los Angeles Lakers. And helping us break it down, it is a man who's a better human being than all of us and one hell of a basketball player as well, George Niang. George, how are you?
Hey, George.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing?
We've missed you.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I was thinking about this, George. We'll get into your 7 of 7 and everything that you're doing, so many great things. But when you're not cut commercials for Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, you're not dropping buckets for the Utah Jazz, I want to know, like, what is it that makes you tick? What makes you happy, George?
Wow. Am I allowed to just give, like, a general answer and say food? Or is that
going to
be like,
maybe like a little bit more specific on the food.
Yeah, because Scotty and I are foodies, brother. We are foodies.
Oh, you know, I like a good Chicago deep dish pizza. But, I mean, I like hanging out at home. It's a little tough. You know, I really enjoy downtime with my friends if they're able to friends and family to come into town. But I've been big into, you know, watching Netflix and really hanging out.
Is there any particular Netflix shows you've been binging on lately?
To be honest with you, this may sound a little weird, but I've been kind of like weirdly obsessed with like World War II documentaries. It's kind of just been like fascinating to see like old cool stuff. It's kind of corny. I wish I could give you guys like a better answer, but I'm kind of boring at the moment.
No, you're not. You're never boring to us,
no.
George. What's your favorite World War II movie? Have you seen Fury?
Fury? No, I haven't. But that might be one I watch before my pregame nap today. Maybe if that gets me 8 for 8, I might watch that every day.
It's a good one.
Is there a point in the game where obviously things happen so fast, but do you ever like stop in the middle of a timeout or something like that? Like, hey, have I missed a three yet? I don't think I have. Like, were you aware that you were perfect from beyond the line?
Have you ever like had like a daydream when like the daydream's like going so well and then someone like claps in your face and like yeah. then the daydream ends? That was like when they threw water at me at the end. Like I was in a daydream like, whoa, like this just doesn't get any better. It like keeps getting better. And then they threw water on me at the end. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm back to George now.
Have you ever gone 7-7?
Hans, here's the problem. When I was in college, I was allowed to shoot whatever shot I wanted, so I was taking a lot of bad shots, so I was eventually getting that. Here, I'm taking the ones that are going to help us win, so this would be the first time I've gone 7-7.
I was talking about this the day after the game with Scotty. I said, look, I'm really proud of George and his 7-for-7. It's pretty incredible, but if you go look at his 7 shots, most of them are without somebody 5 feet even close to him. It just seems like those shots open up, the looks open up for you, George. Kind of walk us through how those looks open up so much for you.
I mean, well, you got to think of it. You know, I'm out on the court with guys that are dynamic in what they do. Rudy's really dynamic at rolling to the rim. Joe's really good at making threes off the dribble and playing pick and roll. Mike is also, and Jordan Clarkson is just a bona fide scorer. So, my job is really just to space the floor. And, you know, when they're trying to slow those guys down, you know, I was hoping you wouldn't say anybody was in 5 feet, but it's a fact. If anybody watches the film, it doesn't just look at the box score. I don't want to say have to pick their poison, but they're going to have to help off someone. And, you know, I was able to knock down shots and, you know, that kind of moved the needle when, you know, we were down a little bit in the third quarter.
You guys have really started to find a way to pull away from teams late in a game where, you know, midway through the third quarter, you're down 11 and then you blink and fourth quarter, you guys are up 10.
Sorry, that was Joe Ingles. You know, you can't control that wild man.
Hey, you tell Joe he's got his own radio show. He doesn't need to bleed over into this.
Yeah, he just wants to steal my shine. It's all right.
Ask Joe last time he went 7-for-7 in a game, man.
Yeah, but he was like, he said to me today, he was like, you would think I go 7-for-10, people would be talking about me, but no. Yeah, they just talk about you. I was like, hey, it's a tough life, buddy.
Yeah, that's the cross I have to bear here. But what is it about this team that all of a sudden you guys find ways to pull away from teams and win games, frankly, going away down the stretch in the fourth quarter? I mean, talk about this killer instinct this squad has.
I think, you know, with us it's just a grit aspect. You know, we get to a point where Grandma, leave me alone. I think it's a grit aspect, you know, where we know if we keep defending and keep making the other team take contested twos and tough threes, that we're eventually going to hit a 10-0, 12-0 run, and that, you know, that sinks most teams. You know, most teams can't bounce back from runs like that late in the game. So that's, you know, kind of where we're at. And sometimes those runs come early in the game. You know, with us being number one in the league with our record, I think teams are really coming out looking to punch us in the mouth. So we need to do a better job of, you know, being ready for them in the first and second quarters. But I feel like late in the game lately, you know, we've put on those 12-0 runs, and that's really put teams out.
Yeah, George, I think one of the most fascinating performances I've seen in basketball in a long time is this run that Jordan Clarkson's on and what he does off the bench and what he creates and how he plays the game. Have you ever played it with a guy like Jordan, kind of his style? And if not, what is it that really separates him from other guys that you've played with?
You know, I've never been around a person like Jordan, to be honest with you. I don't think that guy ever has a bad day. He lives life to the fullest, and he's just happy. But that being said, on the court, I mean, I've never played with someone like Jordan that is able to, you know, dribble and spin and throw the ball up, and it just seems to find the bottom of the net. Someone was asking me about him today. I was like, he's just different than anybody else. He's just so relaxed and confident in who he is. You know, in the bubble, you know, before games, he'd be listening to, you know, I'd sit next to him and he'd be listening to Frank Sinatra. And this year, he's obsessed with The Sopranos. And every time I look over, he has his face in his iPad watching The Sopranos. And and he goes out there and scores points. So he has his little routine that he gets in, and I will never break him out of that, but I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
One of the, by the way, one of the greatest TV shows of all time, too. If you've not binged The Sopranos, he's on to something there. That's great TV right there. What's this locker room like? Because it seems like everybody gets along, and I think that's kind of rare in the NBA that everybody's dialed in, everybody's on the same page, everybody seems to get along. Is that the case with this team?
Yeah, I think everybody realizes here. You know, we've been together a couple of years now, with the addition of Mike, JC, and obviously Fave coming back. Last year, losing to the Nuggets was really hard on a lot of us during the off season. You know, being up 3-1 and then having that, you know, I don't want to say devastating comeback, but it wasn't good. I think a lot of us realized, you know, if we want to do this and all be together and enjoy the time that we have together, we're going to have to win. And, you know, what is that going to take? And I think a lot of us have put a lot of thought and effort into the defensive end, and that's translated for us to be able to play fast and shoot a ton of threes. And I think we just all enjoy, the camaraderie and being around each other. We have a really unselfish group, and I think the best part about us is we don't care who gets the accolades or who scores the most points. At the end of the day, if we're winning and get to come to work every day, I think it puts it all in perspective, and we're just, you know, happy to be on a team that we all have a good time and enjoy being around each other.
Just to kind of build off that, obviously Quinn Snyder getting to coach Team LeBron James in the All-Star game, I thought that was fantastic. But I've seen so many different relationships with players and coaches and been a part of different relationships, and certain coaches you laugh with, certain coaches you just salute and say, yes, sir. What is your relationship like with Quinn Snyder? What's the team's relationship like with him, whether it's on a bus from a hotel to shoot around or to the game, or it's in a, you know, maybe it's in a looser, kind of more lighthearted practice environment? Is he somebody you joke with, you say names back and forth, have a good time with, or is he somebody you just salute and do what he asks?
You know, that's funny because, you know, the outside world only gets to see him in his coaching light and, you know, when he's in game mode. I have a great relationship with Coach Quinn. We can laugh and joke and have an honest, open relationship. But I've been here for 3 years, but I think the best thing about Coach Quinn is that, you know, when you get here, he takes the time to have a special moment to get to know people, whether if it's the first person on the roster or the 17th person on the roster. I remember I got here on a two-way, and he was talking to me about Larry Brown one day when I was shooting. He pulled me to the side, and we had a 20-minute conversation. I think he does a great job of reading the pulse of the team, but honestly making people feel like they're appreciated. Some coaches only want to talk to the guys that are in the rotation. I think, you know, Quinn does a great job of talking to everybody, whether if it's the video room or the coaches or the two-way players. He wants everybody to feel like they can come up to him and approach him and talk to him and have an actual relationship with him. It's not, you don't only just talk about basketball. It's more or less, you know, sometimes real life things. And I think that's what makes him so special, is he's just so relatable. He's played the game before, and he's had, his trials and tribulations, and he's had his triumphs. So he's super relatable, and I think everyone here loves that he's super approachable. It's funny that people only get to see him on the court when he's in game mode, you know, looking like he's all revved up on Red Bull and ready to go.
Hey, do you know, like, what are your plans on All-Star break? Are you able to get away? And are the NBA protocols pretty strict on what they will and will not let you guys do during that break?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying what I'm going to do during All-Star break, because I don't know the testing scheme, so I should probably read the protocols before I start hanging out on the radio what I'm going to do. But I think I'm going to be staying in Utah and getting tested every day. So that's
there
my answer
go.
For you guys.
Good answer.
Well, if you get a minute, George, I want to take you up on the ice and get you doing some ice fishing up on Strawberry Reservoir. Have you ever ice fished?
Oh, I've never done that, but that actually sounds like we'd be socially distant and it'd be outside, so that seems like it'd be acceptable. A little cold, though.
It'd be very cold, but you'd be pulling out some good fish that you could take back to your cook. Do you have a cook, or do you do all your own cooking?
I'm embarrassed to admit I do have a cook. I don't do my own cooking, but it's beneficial. They make sure I have the healthy nutrition that I need.
I don't think there's anything to be ashamed about there. Like, if you can do that, by all means.
Heck yeah, man.
Heck yeah.
I would.
Okay, good.
Although if we had a cook, I don't know how nutritious it would be. It'd be like...
I'm not exactly...
No, I'll take you up on that fishing offer. I've never been ice fishing, so that'd be awesome.
All right, man. I'll see if I can get it set up and we'll get you up on the ice and have you pull a couple of trout out.
There we go. We can take some Instagram pictures. Because they say if it's not on Instagram, it never happened.
That's for sure.
Well, George, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catch up again here really soon.
Thanks, George.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
George Niang right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right, we're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. And remember, 0% financing on that Titan right now, where you can get a brand-new Titan, 0% financing. It comes with a forever warranty, and you are good to go. That Titan is on my wish list. It's been a vehicle that I've loved, and you can get one with 0% financing right now. And remember, great savings on the sedans as well. $229 a month on the Altima. That comes with the all-wheel drive. You got $199 a month on the Sentra. That's going to save you a ton of money as well. So come down and check it out, man. I'm telling you, these guys are going to get you squared away with a beautiful new vehicle. And if you want to go used as well, they got a great selection of used vehicles. And about 90-95% of those come with the forever warranty as well. So you can, again, drive it as long as you want, put as many miles you want on it, and it's still covered with that forever warranty. Let's make it happen. It's all right here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.